Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls for the time being because we have with us on the line Tommy Head. And, of course, Tommy comes from, he's an American, but now he's working down in Central America helping people, or perhaps in South America, we'll get more information on that, put in water wells because, of course, water is the solution to so many of the problems of medical problems and just simply the problems of living of people in the more primitive areas. Tommy, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about who you are and how you ended up going to where you went and where did you go?
Well, we are currently working in the Amazon Basin in Peru, South America. We work with the native Indians, many different tribes that live in that area. And my wife and I have been there since 1998. I was a administrator and a plant manager at Lazy Boy. I worked at Lazy Boy for 20 years before going on the field. My wife was in a nursing profession for about 20 years before we left. So God just really put it on our heart after a short-term mission trip to that area and really impressed upon us the needs, and that's where we ended up, and we're loving every minute of it.
Well, I think it's such an important job you're doing because, of course, you get a chance to help the people in the process. You get an opportunity to sort of introduce them to our Lord, don't you?
That's exactly right. I mean, we have to depend on Him for everything, and we tell people when we ask for prayer and financial support that if they have to give one up, please give up the financial, because once you hit the banks of an Indian community, prayer is all it takes you through because the Indians don't use money.
All right, fine. Well, now, are you dealing mostly with primitive Indian tribes? Is there any civilization where you're going at all?
Well, it's primitive in as much as their living conditions are pretty much like they lived for the last several hundred years. There's no running water, of course, because that's what we're trying to do, just give them a manual pump. But there's no electricity, there's no bathrooms, there's just thatch roofs and dirt floors or either split palm floors, and they live much as their ancestors did. They're more or less hunter-gatherers.
But, of course, one of the big things is water. You can wash with water, you can drink the water, and certainly you want to have water that isn't polluted. Isn't that a big problem down there?
Yes, it is. My wife is a registered nurse, and for the first 4 years we were down there, I was doing Bible teaching, and we were doing leadership training, and she would always have her clinic in the communities, but she carefully documented all the cases that came through her door, and what we found out that more than 80% of all the cases were water-related or could be traced to bad water and poor hygiene, so we understood that we were treating the results of the problem instead of the problem. Because when we gave out pills and left the community, once the pills were gone, the maladies remained. And so we decided we were going to get trained and learn how to really attack the problem. And that is poor drinking water and the lack of knowledge in the hygiene training area.
And, of course, then what you have a small well-drilling unit that you can just take down portable. And how far? You can get down pretty well with those, can't you?
Yeah, we can. We can go down as a shallow well, soft formation drill rig, but we can still go down to 100 feet, and where we drill right on the tributaries of the Amazon. So we usually can find really good drinking water in 15 to 20 meters the maximum.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Tommy Head talking about his effort to reach the natives, the native people there in the Amazon Basin, certainly in Peru, with the message of the gospel. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Tommy Head, and Tommy is a missionary. He and his wife have gone into the South America. They're working in the Amazon Basin, in the area adjacent to Peru there, with people who live under very, very primitive provisions. And, of course, they're living there in the Amazon Basin, pretty hot. But one of the big problems is the disease. And Tommy was saying that, of course, one of the big problems, they found out that about 80% of the people they were treating had water-related diseases. And, of course, his wife could dispense the pills. But when the pills were gone, why, the sicknesses came back. So they determined they were going to get to the root of the problem. And so, well, you pick up the story from there, Tommy.
We went to a drill camp that Living Water puts on in outside of Houston, Texas. And we just learned how to drill wells there. And now we're with them full time. And through the Lord's provision, we have one drill rig already in Peru, and we're currently raising funds for another. And the Lord has just—they really showed us that it's a biblical model, and we believe a mandate to try to reach the Indians where they hurt. We believe that Christ certainly met needs on a socioeconomic level. He gathered a crowd, and he shared the gospel, and that's what we're determined to do: is follow that model and use creative access to get into these Indian communities, because we're allowed to go now where really we couldn't have got in before just walking up the bank with our Bible.
And, of course, now we've talked to the people from Living Water. Don't they have units over in Africa, a lot of communities?
Yes, it's pretty phenomenal. They have, we have actually in 16 different countries. They have people that are working just full-time, just drilling wells and providing living water.
And, of course, what do you have? You have a little gasoline rig at the top there that provides the torque?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we use is a LS-100, and it's just a small Briggs & Stratton engine with a drill quill on the bottom of it and our drill pipe, and we have a little mud pump that pumps the water down through the through the drill bit, pushing out the cuttings, and the whole unit, really with drill pipe and everything, only weighs around 600, 800 pounds. So while it's not anything you can carry on your shoulder, something certainly portable enough that with the Indians' help, we're able to transport it through the Amazon jungle.
And, of course, then you take your, polyvinyl pipe right along with you?
Yeah, we do. We carry our supplies. We have to put in a 4-inch casing, then a 1 3/4-inch drop pipe, and then our sucker rod and a cylinder is the only thing we have to import from the United States. Everything else we can outsource there in Peru, which also adds to the economy there. We're able to get all the machine shop work done right there in the country.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment as our other stations join us here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan here, and of course I've talked to other people from Living Waters, and this is really a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I mean, the World Bank has been talking for years about providing water for the people throughout the world, and, you know, if they just give them $20 billion, why, they would do this. They sort of never get around to doing it, it's just a matter of having people who are willing to go in, who know how to do it, and then, of course, the pump. What do you have, just such a handled pump to bring the water up?
Yes, yeah, very simple, and what's wonderful about it, it's called an African bush pump, and it's a really tried and true pump. It has only about four different moving parts, so very little can go wrong. So we try to make it as simple as we can, and it's very durable. It's been really working well for us.
And, of course, what a wonderful thing for the village to have the water there where they can draw it right. Now, do most of the people live in villages?
Yes, they do. There's some that live in the outskirts of areas in the jungle by themselves, but that really is the exception instead of the rule. They live very communally, and family clans tend to stick together, and villages range anywhere from about 20 people up to about 400 people.
Well, now, of course, what about Christianity? Has Christianity been able to get into that area? Are many of the people Christians, or many of the people have never heard the word of the Lord?
Well, it's really great, Dr. Stan, because what we're finding is that this creative access that the Lord has provided through this well drilling has allowed us to get into communities that have absolutely no church presence. We have the Jesus film in just about 8 to 10 different native languages, and at night, after we're through drilling and working with the Indians, we show the film, and when we have it in their language, it just really touches their hearts. We're able to do a lot of evangelistic work after the workday, so it's really been something the Lord has blessed us.
Well, how long did it take you to put in the well? I know it probably takes you a lot longer to get to that spot and get the pipe and all the other things in, but when you get started drilling one of these wells, how long would it take you?
Well, like you said, Dr. Stan, the inaccessibility is what makes it a challenge logistically when you start transporting drill equipment by canoes and getting into the village. That's what can really chew up your time. But we find that with 4 to 5 days in a community and with a minimum investment in materials of about $1,000, we can install a freshwater well that can really add years to the native villagers that live there and add to their quality of life.
Well, it's really such a wonderful, wonderful thing because, of course, most people in the United States, you know, they take water for granted. They can't imagine, you know, what would happen if you went to the faucet and turned it on, nothing happened. And yet, of course, there are people all throughout the world who have no access to water and either have to get it out of a river or a creek, or, and so often these are polluted. And so here's an opportunity, of course, to provide water within these communities. And then, of course, what a wonderful opportunity to bring the message. Well, are the people really open to the message of the gospel?
They really are, especially with this ministry, Dr. Stan, because they don't view us as having a hidden agenda. We don't go in as missionaries from their point of view. We go in as people trying to meet their needs in a humanitarian area, and we just are able to work beside them, and because we involve the villagers in the work. They do an awful lot of the work with us, and just by working with them, we just share that, you know, we're not certainly limiting our interaction to people that are Christians. We want to reach out to everybody, but just like a football fan talks about football, we're probably going to talk about Jesus because we're Jesus fans, and they accept that, and little by little the Holy Spirit opens doors and we're able to really just share the gospel with them, but in a non-confrontational way, just by asking generous questions.
All right, well, would you like to get out your website and perhaps your number in case anybody would be more interested in or interested in knowing more about your ministry and Waters for the World?
Yeah, the website for Living Water International is www.water.cc. A lot of people question that CC, but that's a new deal they got going on in the Internet world now, so that is correct. It's .cc, and our personal email address is thead, T-H-E-A-D, at terra, T-E-R-R-A, .com.pe. And Living Water also has a toll-free number. It's 877-594-4426.
Now, why don't we do those all once more time, because sometimes people don't get it the first time.
Okay, we'll give them a minute to get a pencil, right?
All right, right.
Okay, the web page is www.water.cc. Our email address is thead at terra, T-E-R-R-A, .com.pe, and the toll-free number for Living Water is 877-594-4426.
All right, fine. And our guest, of course, is Tommy Head, and he gave up his job there with Lazy Boy Furniture, and his wife gave up her job as a full-time nurse to go down and of course minister to the people there in the jungles. Now, is there a lot of pressure in your area for deforestation, for clearing the jungle, or oil or gas exploration?
There is an awful lot of as far as the gas and oil, it's pretty interesting, Dr. Stan, because there was an oil company that was in before that was polluting the area pretty bad, and now we are actually working with the help of an oil company now and trying to clean some of that up, and this oil company, as one of their agreements with the Indians, is helping us logistically actually get in to these native communities. So it's pretty amazing how the Lord is just using all these various resources to allow us to do this in a very economic way.
Oh, is there actually a great deal of oil and natural gas there, or are they just exploring for it?
There's a tremendous amount there. Kamisea, where we're thinking about drilling next, we have a more or less a bid out on a contract there so we could get that job and spread the gospel in that area, is one of the richest oil and natural gas reserves in South America. So there's a lot of natural resources there, and it would really greatly benefit the country. But as you know, the challenge is always trying to access that, even in our own country, without really doing damage to the beauty that is the Amazon rainforest.
Well, now, how do the people feel about it? How do the Native Indians feel about the people coming and exploring and of course, clearing land and setting up their oil or gas pumps?
Well, the Indians are really, they're so needy, Dr. Stan, it almost puts them in a bad position because these people can come in and offer them just, you know, gas for their boats and little pecky-peckies, which is a little outboard jungle motor and chainsaws and boots and machetes and just all these different things. But it's a pittance probably comparing to what they're getting out of the area. But the Indians are pretty susceptible to something because they live with so much nothing.
What about the efforts to come in and clear the areas there, you know, so that they can use it for planting for various crops? Is there much pressure in your area? I know there was area a great deal of clearing parts of the Amazon jungle. Was that further south?
Yeah, it's further south, and I know they have a lot of clear cutting over in Brazil. They do a good bit of logging in the Amazon jungle, but it's usually just going in and cutting out select trees like mahogany and the different hardwoods there. But as far as just clear cutting to get lumber, we're not seeing that as a really big problem where we're working.
Well, how do the Indians ordinarily live if, you know, they're not getting anything from the oil people? Do they grow crops? Do they simply hunt? How do they survive?
They grow what is called a chacra, which is a little garden, and they might grow some yucca, which is a potato product, and some banana. But they do hunt. They love to hunt with a shotgun, but very often they don't have the shells for that because they're expensive and hard to come by. So a lot of the Indians still resort to the basic weapons they've always used, and that's just the spear and the bow and arrow, and they're just hunter-gatherers. They fish out of the river. They net out of the river. So they just live a pretty much a day-to-day existence.
You know, it's very hard, I think, for the average individual, other than what they see on the Discovery Channel, but to really believe that there are people who live in this sort of a primitive existence, and in many of these areas, they've never heard about the Lord.
I understand in many of these areas, they've actually never seen another human being. They've never seen anybody out of their own tribe. We have had the opportunity to have some interaction with, you know, with their 12 to 14 tribes in Peru alone that have never seen a piece of metal, have never seen a piece of cloth, and live absolutely running through the jungle nude, just like their ancestors did just centuries ago. So it's astonishing, like you said, from our perspective, to even believe that that sort of life exists, but it does.
Well, is there any danger to you and your wife going into these areas? Do you send somebody ahead of time so that they'll know who you are, that you're there to help them?
We try to do a survey trip. We try to gather information about the locals before we go in, and before we ever go in with any equipment or with certainly any friends or teammates from the United States, we always go in and do a survey trip and check out the lay of the land as it pertains to accessibility of water, but more just for safety. And we do always try to do that with some advanced scouting by just resource management of people. Let people get in touch with other people for us, and the Indians have radios, shortwave radios in some of the communities, so we can try to touch base with them there. But we always make a physical visit to the site before we bring anybody else in.
Well, now, do you go in with a team? How many people would there be going in when you're going to be drilling a well?
We like to carry no more than two or three. I have my wife and myself, and I have one Peruvian co-worker named Jorge, who's just a wonderful evangelist. The Lord just really blessed us with him. And we always really try to involve two or three people from the United States that are interested in sponsoring a well. And we don't just allow them to do it financially, but if they want to get hands-on and get down and dirty with it, we invite them to come along with us and help us drill that well. So it's really a wonderful, exciting adventure for them, but we like to keep the teams very small as to not disrupt the life that they know in the village. When you bring in large teams, it's just disruptive because it's so strange to them, and also it's just a wonderful opportunity for the team to interact with the Indians on a level that's not threatening to them.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two. Our guest this afternoon is Tommy Head, a little different type of program than we often have, but this is really, of course, such an important issue. How do you reach people, the really primitive people, with the gospel? We're told, of course, we're to go into all the world and teach the gospel. And Tommy and his wife and those who work with him on Living Waters are doing just that. We'll be back here in just a moment or two here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we do carry the Miracle 2 soap products here, and we can't make any medical claims for them. We can just tell you that an awful lot of people who use them really do believe that they help them in many, many ways, and many people will tell us that they help their rashes or acne or their upper or lower gastrointestinal tract. All we can do is say try them. You might find that they do help. I'll tell you what, the one thing I can tell you is that Miracle 2 soap is excellent. I wouldn't be without my moisturizing soap, which I've used for several years, and it certainly helps to moisturize the skin. Certainly, we point out that the gel is very, very efficient for rashes or for all sorts of aches and pains. Give it a try. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a gel, a lotion, and a neutralizer. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Tommy Head, and he is, of course, with groups that go throughout the world providing water, putting in wells for people, and really, of course, going into these very, very primitive areas where, of course, it is certainly none of the nice amenities we're used to and really potentially quite dangerous. What about the threat of malaria in your area?
Well, we're working now, there is, and we've taken actually some Indians out that have malaria. We don't take the malaria pills because we'd have to be on them actually, 24/7 all year round. So we believe that it would do more damage than good. But, we have not personally had it. We certainly have been around a lot of Indians. It certainly is a big problem in the Indian's world.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, what about the Indians as far as their education? Do they have an education? Is there any schools? Do they have Bibles that in their language? How do you reach them with the Holy Scriptures?
The Indians are educated to a degree. The government provides a rudimentary education system, but it would be equivalent to probably a sixth grade education in this country. And the young men are able to do this. A lot of the young women aren't, because they're taken out of school at an early age to take care of their siblings and work. It's a very male-dominated society, and the women really carry a lot of the load. But the question about the Bibles, Wycliffe has done a wonderful job in doing a lot of translations for the Indians, and many of them do have Bibles in their language. But what we learned, as you just pointed out, was literacy is a big problem. So having the written word in your language is not very useful if you can't read it.
All right, fine. So you just go there and you do the best thing you can to reach them, and at least to bring them the verbal message, and then, of course, to have them see the Jesus film, and then, of course, to hope that at least some of them, the seeds you planted will begin to bear fruit. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, of course, as you go out there, are you pretty much alone in that area? In other words, are there other people from your organization in that area? Is this sort of your region?
Now, this will be our region. It'll just be my wife and myself and our Peruvian co-worker many times, and then, as stated earlier, we'll sometimes have a team from the States. But we work in very small groups and in very isolated areas.
Well, now, how do you actually get funds for what you're doing? I mean, is it entirely voluntary? Does your central organization have funds, or how, you know, because you have to have money, you have to be able to live, you have to have the equipment, you got to have that polyvinyl pipe, or PVC pipe, and, of course, you've got to buy the pumps to go along with it. Where does the money come from?
Yeah, we are personal support. We're just faith-supported missionaries, and we have one or two churches that support us, but mainly our support comes from individual donors that just give, you know, 20 or 30 bucks a month. And we have a lot of people that are involved with us like that. We've been tremendously blessed. Our project support, we have to kind of raise on a per project basis, and Living Water certainly helps us with that. But with, as stated earlier, $1,000 can pretty much buy the equipment or the materials needed to put in a well, and Living Water is helping us raise those funds, and we're trying to do some project fundraising ourselves while we're here to buy another drill rig, because these rigs cost between $8,000 to $10,000, and we're raising funds right now to buy another one so we can put it in another part of the jungle, train another team, and we can really double what we're able to do, and hopefully in the near future we'll have four or five of them out there in the Amazon and different tribes working.
Well, of course, that number, again, if you'd like to get in touch with this ministry, is 877-594-4426. That's 877-594-4426. And we're going to have to take a break here. But when we get back, we're going to talk to Tommy Head about the Berkey Light. Is it the Berkey Light or the Big Berkey that you have?
We have the Berkey Light.
All right, fine. Of course, one of our supporters who supports Radio Liberty also supports Tommy Head. And one of the things he got for them was the Berkey Light water filter that we keep talking about here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, you'll be quite interested in knowing their impression of it. Well, because believe me, they're in a position where they're out in the wilderness, where they're out there, and, of course, the water is extremely dangerous. They've got to have something they can depend upon to keep them from getting as ill as so many of the people. So you'll hear a little bit of, in fact, maybe we'll give a commercial for the Berkey Light during our break here. And then, of course, we'll get first-hand impression from Tommy Head, who has, how long have you had one of the Berkey Lights now?
Rob just recently sent it down to us, so we don't have a lot of experience with it so far. We know it's a tremendous product, and we have a lot of missionary co-workers that have been using them for years, so we are very familiar with the product.
All right, you're familiar with it, but of course you haven't had any first-hand experience. All right, we won't talk about it when we get back, but we will tell our listeners in just a moment a little bit about the Berkey products, which are used by missionaries throughout the world. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me tell you a little bit about the Big Berkey and about the Berkey Life water filters. And these have been used certainly by missionaries throughout the world. The Big Berkey is a standard. It's been around for 150 years. It's made out of stainless steel. It's a sturdy product. You put two and a half gallons in the top. It goes down through by gravity feed through the ceramic filters that are packed with activated charcoal. Comes out the bottom, and they've removed most of the bacteria and cryptosporidium and the herbicides and pesticides and most of the chlorine taste. And a lot of people use the Berkey water filters just because they like the taste of the water. They don't like the taste of the water in their area. It's got all sorts of minerals in it, and this will take out an awful lot of the minerals and products. And certainly it's a wonderful thing to have, especially if there were ever an emergency and you needed to be able to filter water or pond or lake water. So that's the Big Berkey. It's $239.95 available in every state in the Union except California and Iowa. But however, there is a Berkey Light. It's made out of Lexan, so it's clear. You can actually see the water levels. The filters are black Berkey filters, and they're much more efficient. We call them water purifiers. They do a better job than the ceramic filters, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, depending upon how much you use it. And of course, both filters will take out the fluoride if you get a special post filter to put underneath. You won't get enough of the fluoride out simply with a regular filters. So if you have fluoridated water, you certainly don't want to be drinking that rat poison. We know, of course, it has a disastrous effect on the mind, especially of children. We know at places in China where they've actually tested and found out how it can really lower the IQ level. Call 1-800-544-8927. Learn more about the Berkey filters. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course Tommy has a filter, but he hasn't had a chance to use it yet, but of course he knows other ministries that have, and of course this is what they use in very, very primitive areas to protect their water. You can have it here simply to clean up your water, and so many people are drinking bottled water now. Why not just get yourself a home filter, and you'll have many of the benefits of bottled water. A lot of the bottled water is actually distilled water, and then they've taken all the minerals out. Well, that's the last thing you really want to do. You want to leave a lot of those minerals in there because you need them for your health. So then we'll talk a little bit more about, of course, what it's like living there in the Amazon. If you'd like to talk to Tommy, his telephone, our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Tommy, is there any danger from the native tribes? Do they ever, of course, when we know in years past, 20 or 30 years ago, there was a man named Jim Elliott who went down there, and he was actually killed by the natives.
Yeah, we have worked in the past on some different contact groups, and there certainly have been some negative, aggressive interaction between the missionaries that are trying to reach him and the Indians. We haven't personally experienced that, but we work within groups that have. And it's just amazing, these guys that dedicate their lives to that type work, because they take a vow, just as you were mentioning Jim Elliott, that no matter what comes up in front of them, they refuse to inflict harm on one of these Indians, because the reality is that if the Indian kills one of us, then we're just going to get to heaven a little sooner than we expected. But if we kill the Indian, then we've just punched his ticket to hell. And so we are really, it's really quite a dangerous work that these people do, and we really can't get into specifics about it because certainly the anthropologists and different agencies within the country would love to find a reason to kick the guys out that are trying to reach the Indians for Christ. But it is going on, and there is danger, and we would ask for prayers in that area.
I remember what Jim Elliot was said, quoted as saying, that man is no fool who gives that which he can never keep to gain that which he could never lose. And that was really an amazing thing to have said, an amazing thought. To give that which you can never keep, which is our life. To gain that which is you can never lose, which is eternity.
Mm.
Well, now, of course, what about the wild animals down there? Certainly, do they have jaguars and cheetahs and things like that?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Stan. We are in the as we said, the Amazon basin, and wildlife is abundant. And we're out in virgin jungle. It's just magnificent to see the macaws and the just flying overhead, and the monkeys jumping from tree to tree, and the alligators in the water, and the wild boar running through, and it's just unbelievable. It's just like living in a zoo. There are some dangers, but really, unless the animal is hurt, the animals are generally more afraid of us than we are of them.
How about the pythons? We hear that's just sort of an area where you can pick up a pet python there very easily.
I try to stay away from picking them up. I've only seen one, and he was a real monster. It's we were in a river going down, and I saw what I thought was a log, and I asked my coworker, "How is that log floating up against the current?" And he looked at me and looked at the object. And he said, "Man, that's not a log." And all of a sudden, it stuck his head up out of the water, and this head was about as big as half of an American football, and myself being geographically challenged, I said, "Is that a hippopotamus?" And my friend said, "No, you idiot, that's in Africa, that's a python." But it was a tremendous animal. He must have been, from the size of his head, we couldn't see his whole body, but close to 15 to 20 feet, and he was very thick. So that's the only one of those that I've seen, but I have seen a good many of the boa constrictor.
All right, fine. Well, of course, it would be exciting to be there, but, of course, also very, very potentially dangerous. Do you do a lot of your travel by boat?
We do. We fly into a lot of the areas with South American missions. They have an aviation wing right in Pucallpa, and we use them. They have a wheel plane when there's a little grass runway, or they have a float plane that lands us right there on the river, and then from there, we have to get in a dugout canoe, which is a tree actually hollowed out by the Indians with their axes and machetes or whatever implements they have to do that work, and they just make wonderfully beautiful canoes. I wish it was visual so I could just show them to you, but these guys are just tremendous workers.
All right, fine. And then, of course, do they have motors there, or do you actually have to paddle?
They paddle for the most part, but there is what they call a pecky-pecky, and it's something similar to a Briggs & Stratton engine with about a 7-foot pipe on it with a little prop at the end of it, and this way they can really navigate in the really shallow streams and the shallow rivers, because they can just run it at the top of the water if they need to, or they can drop it down if they need to, but it's really a pretty efficient little motor.
All right, fine. Of course, anything there of that sort, I'm sure, is a tremendous advantage from just having the paddles that they've traditionally used for moving around on the rivers.
It sure is. It sure is. And I wanted to back up just 1 second. I think I misspoke whenever I told you that we didn't have any experience with the Berkey. We have drank a lot of water out of a Berkey. We have worked with people that have had them, and we've been out there for months at a time, and we have used the filter, and it's just a tremendous product. So we can vouch for it personally. The product that we use before, I don't want to mention the name, but it's a quicker filter, but when we look in the bottom of it, you see a lot of sand and sediment, and the Berkey, the light are the older model, doesn't allow that to happen. So I just wanted to make sure that the people knew that we can definitely personally vouch for this product. We have used it.
Well, of course, I hope that none of our listeners will be using it down there in the Amazon jungle. but of course, it's a nice thing to have here, because we don't know what the future holds. And I really fear for this country when I reflect that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. Mm. Well, as you look at it now, is your wife down there, is she still going in and providing medicines and health care for the people?
She does, and she does a tremendous job in reaching the people through the medicines and her clinics, but she also does the health and hygiene training in the communities where we're installing the wells, because just clean drinking water is not the answer, because they're using clean drinking water out of dirty bowls and still washing their dishes in the river, then, you know, we're still back with the same problem. So she actually spends a good bit of time with the villagers and just with picture art and just simply explaining to them in language they can understand how to keep themselves and their children just in a more hygienic way, safer to be able to add years to their life. Dr. Stan, the infant mortality rate where we work is over 50%. I've done a lot of baby dedications down there in churches, and most of the natives will not even name a child until it's older than 2 years, because they don't want to try to get too attached to it. But as you know, a parent's love for a child is not determined by percentages. So they love their children just like we love ours. And one thing that really is hard for us is unnecessary death that we see down there, and we just see it all the time. And preventable death usually exists because of the ignorance of those that could prevent it. So that's one thing that we're actively involved in, is trying to educate people about the needs that are there.
Well, now, what are the children dying of? Is this childhood diseases? Is this because of the lack of vaccines? Is this certainly because of tuberculosis? Or are there specific diseases that are in that area that are endemic?
There are parasites are one of the bigger problems that we run into, and malnutrition. A lot of the areas don't have the kind of food that they need to be eating. We see a lot of kids with distended stomachs. Dysentery can kill a child in just a matter of hours, because the Indians don't understand about fluid replacement. They don't understand why their child is losing so much fluid. So they're very preventable, very simple things. If you live where you live or where I live, but where they live, it's just death waiting at the door.
Well, I know certainly dysentery. You know, here we put them in the hospital, hydrate them, and that, you know, most children will get over it. But in other parts of the world, this can be a life-threatening disease.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stats tell us that one child dies every 8 seconds. You know, there in the world there are 1.1 billion people that lack access to clean water. That's billion. There are 2.3 billion people without basic sanitation, and preventable water-related diseases kill more than 30,000 people daily.
And, of course, the parasites, I mean, this would be the thing, but they're getting most of the parasites from drinking contaminated water, aren't they?
That's right, that's right. And that's something that, as we stated earlier, we just realized, partly through frustration of just seeing the repeated illnesses and going back in the villages and seeing the same things over and over, we really realize that even if it's a small way that we're impacting, we have to get out there and try to get these people clean drinking water.
Well, now, what about the languages? Are there multiple languages? Can you get by with Spanish? Or does each tribe have its own dialect?
Each tribe has its own dialect, Dr. Stan, and that's a challenge for us. We speak Spanish fluently, but we have to have a translator in most of the tribes we work with. Fortunately, there's usually someone in that village that can speak Spanish as a second language. Now, we go into some villages where a good percentage of the people speak Spanish, and we've been in villages where only one person has spoken Spanish. So trying to transmit the knowledge about the hygiene training and the pump and certainly the gospel is always a challenge, and that's why we really have to depend on the Holy Spirit, that the words they hear wouldn't be from us, but from God himself.
Now, of course, you mentioned that you show the Jesus films. You must have then a generator with you.
We do. We have a little 350 generator that is very light and portable, and we take it with us, and we have a little 8mm camera and some speakers, and we just hang a sheet up between two trees or on a wall somewhere, and We just have a ball out there. The only thing we like is popcorn.
But the Jesus film really does touch the hearts of many of the people.
It really does. And many, when we show it the first time, we usually, especially in an unchurched or where there's no church present, we don't even do it with any teaching. We just show it as a story because the Indians just love a story. So they come the first night, and they're really attracted to it because it's something in their language. So they just really flock around. And then they will ask to see it again. And then the second time we show it, we do just an explanation of what that story they saw the night before was about. And then at the end of it, of course, we have a gospel presentation. So it's just phenomenal, and we just really owe a lot to all those people that labored for so many years translating these native languages and then producing this film.
It really is an amazing thing. That is really in hundreds and hundreds of different languages. And Bill Bright, was really the driving force behind that, just passed away. But what a wonderful legacy he left.
He sure did. And we're forever grateful to him and the organizations that continue to work in the distribution and the translation. And it's just... people just don't understand that when you've never, ever heard the story of Jesus Christ, to hear it for the first time in your own native tongue is just something that really touches the heart, and God really uses that.
Well, as I can sort of imagine what you're doing, a lot of these people have never seen a motion picture before, have they?
They sure have not, and it is really neat. And what we do also is, we actually film them with the 8mm camera, and we show them on the screens at night, and it is just a hoot. Of course, we have to make sure that they're at a level where they can understand that, and they don't think we're stealing their souls or whatever. But once they get over the initial shock of something that new, boy, you can't keep them away from the camera. They're little mugs.
Well, I think it must be a wonderful, wonderful adventure. Certainly, in many ways, a lot more satisfying than making Lazy Boy furniture. But, of course, this was a tremendous sacrifice for you. Probably, if you were been there for a period of time, you had a certain amount of security. And were you able to retire, or did you just sort of pick up and leave everything and take off on your own?
Well, I'd been there for 20 years. As I said earlier, my wife had been nursing for 20 years, and I wasn't one of those people that was unhappy in my job or felt unfulfilled at all. I really loved what I did, the people I worked for and with, and it was just a matter of, after going on a short-term trip and seeing the needs in this area, God just touched my heart for them, and He just made it clear to me that we weren't to wait for retirement. That was a temptation to see if we could be tent-making missionaries or self-supported, but we didn't. We just went out on faith, and God has raised up that support we need for our day-to-day living, and we just trust Him to take care of us in the future as well.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and get your address out, your email address, your website, and then, of course, the telephone number, because I would encourage people out there in the listening audience, this is a very, very worthy effort, and think of all the lives that are going to be touched. So why don't you go ahead and just get out your website, your email, and your telephone number one more time.
Yeah, the website for Living Water International is www.water.cc. Their toll-free number is 877-594-4426. Our personal email address, and we'll be glad to respond to anybody that has the time to write us, is thead at terra.com. And we would just love to interact with anybody out there listening that would like more information about the ministry.
All right, what does the PE stand for there at the end?
That's Peru. That's our Peruvian email address, and we just keep that while we're in the States here now for about, been here for about 4 weeks, and we'll be here for about another week or so. And then we head back down to Peru and just start fresh again, drilling some more wells.
Boy, we hear that, things are just in terrible straits in Peru. Some people are even trying to get Fujimori to come back. It doesn't seem to be any political stability or any end in sight for the people there.
You are right. I have a lot of opinions on the political the political situation. I wouldn't have any idea, who would be in agreement and who wouldn't be. But sometimes I think that, we try to sell democracy as the end-all, cure-all, and I believe some of the countries that we try to put democracies in aren't exactly ready for that yet. I just think that sometimes we need to step back and evaluate what we're doing before we charge in.
Oh, I agree with you totally. Of course, it's not your place. You're there to represent, do God's work, and you have to leave the political solution to people like me, because we're not any smarter. We don't know either, but well, we sound very erudite. Well, I really want to thank you. Our guest has been Tommy Head. And he, of course, works with a group called Living Water that really is going all over the world to actually put these wells in. And, of course, you hear about the IMF and the World Bank and all of these internationalists and globalists who are so dedicated in helping the people. They're just so busy being helping that they never get around to putting the wells in. Well, of course, here are the people who are really doing it on the front lines. We've had people from this ministry on with us before. I didn't really realize that Tommy was part and parcel of that, but I certainly know the fine work that they do. Totally dedicated, and what a wonderful means of reaching people with God's message. Tommy, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I think that I would just, my thoughts would be a request, I guess. I just request prayer for the ministry and just the wisdom and the decisions we make, and just pray for the natives. They just live in with no hope and no help because they live so isolated, and I just pray that the Lord will raise up more people and more resources to be able to meet the needs that are just so overwhelming if we look at it from human perspective. But from God's perspective, He said, "Is my arm too short?" He also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." And we just cling to those promises.
God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, if you'd like to document what we talk about, that we talk about a secret society that rules the world, there's a wonderful book written by Professor Carol Quigley entitled The Anglo-American Establishment, and it within that book references to the books that you can get and read that will tell you about this secret society that became the Council on Foreign Relations. It's not simply by accident that Condoleezza Rice, that Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, that Dick Cheney, the Vice President, all came from the Council on Foreign Relations, because, of course, Bill Clinton, the Democrat President, was surrounded by people from the CFR, as was, of course, the President's father, George Herbert Walker Bush, as was Ronald Reagan, as was Jimmy Carter, as was Gerald Ford, as was Richard Nixon. It doesn't matter which party is in power. The people from this front group for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created are there running our government. And what's their objective? Creating a world government. That's what it's really all about. And again, of course, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope that you want to get the Anglo-American Establishment. Of course, you can get the book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, written by Professor Carol Quigley, a book that was so revealing that somebody came in, bought up Macmillan Publishers, and shredded or destroyed the place to the first half of the book. And if that story sounds incredible to you, we have an interview with Professor Quigley and the Secret Government 4-tape set. That's the Secret Government 4-tape set where Professor Quigley tells you that story. Or you can get that in the Tragedy and Hope special, which includes the interview with Professor Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, and the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, that explains how the great tax-exempt foundations have been financing communism and socialism. Well, Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. 5 hours on the Internet, 4 hours on a shortwave, and then, of course, on about 60 radio outlets or internet outlets or other outlets every single week as we reach out across America with the news that Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw are paid so much not to reveal but to conceal from the American people, because you're not supposed to understand what's really going on. It's the betrayal of America. It's using our wealth and our financial power to bring about the New World Order and the New World Religion, and to remove those rulers throughout the world who won't go along with this agenda, or those who either will not be bought off or who will refuse to compromise their positions and are concerned about their own countries rather than this imperialist dream. The New World Order ruled by a ruling elite. And this was exactly what Plato wrote about in his book, The Republic. And that's, of course, the book that Cecil Rhodes' mentor, John Ruskin, read on a daily basis. And those ideas were transmitted to Cecil Rhodes and then to the people in the elite group that runs America today. We are the elite. We will rule the world. That's what it's all about. They have a plan. They're consolidating that plan. They're creating regions, the regions of the Americas, the region, the European Union, an African Union, an Asian unit, a Southeast Asian unit, and then eventually all these regional units will be united into the world government. That is exactly what they're intending. And if you need the documentation on anything we talk about, we'll be glad to provide it for you. So we do hope that many of you will, of course, get the materials that we offer. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, our December newsletter explains why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools. Our January newsletter goes into the background of the Illuminati. Our February newsletter goes into what really happened on September 11, 2001, and what Dick Cheney was doing that morning, and how he tracked the plane coming in to crash into the Pentagon. If you'd like a free copy of any of those newsletters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our programs, to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. To consider becoming a regular member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. To get our videos, like my video, The Brotherhood of Darkness, my video, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, my interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away, or the book that that goes with that, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, explaining how we financed the North Vietnamese all during the Vietnam War. After all, how could that little tiny nation stand up against the mightiest nation of the world? Why, very simply, our troops were hamstrung, they weren't allowed to win, and we financed the North Vietnamese. It's just that simple. You want to get the documentation, it's all there. The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, the book, the video. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get the video on the church growth movement. It's called Diaprax in the Church, the movement that's sweeping throughout America today, bringing a great apostasy as we change the music and the message of our churches. You probably would want to get our 4-tape set on the church growth movement, our 4-tape set on music in the church. It's called Musical Madness. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story. It goes into the background of how all the wars of the last century were contrived. None of them were fought to defeat the enemy. They were all fought to pursue this goal, the New World Order, the New World Religion. And then, of course, I would mention our video, Megiddo, The March to Armageddon. Well, go to our website at radioliberty.com. You'll see the items that we have. And tell others about our program. Join the Radio Liberty family. Pray for America. Pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.